Welcome to Thursday, everybody. It's April 4th. I'm John Weigel here with Juliet Bennett Ryla, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Would you eat a robot-made meal of a burger and fries? Many in California and around the globe are asking themselves that same question nowadays. Our very own Juliet Bennett Ryla, though, got out there and tried it for herself at the robot-staffed Cali Express, and she's here to tell us what her experience was like and the potential business of robots in the kitchen. We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. Starting us off, Costco is rolling out a weight loss program with Sesame. The three-month program, which includes a video consultation, ongoing support, and, if needed, a GLP-1 drug prescription, costs about $179 for U.S. members and doesn't include the cost of the medicine. Next, moving to some airlines, dynamic pricing is coming for your suitcase. JetBlue is rolling out baggage pricing that ranges from $35 to $50, taking into account peak and off-peak travel dates and other factors like, we just want to charge you more for your bag, sir. Next, Elon Musk's X has a new head of safety for the third time in less than 2 years. Kylie McRoberts was promoted to lead the global safety team almost a year after its previous executive lasted just 7 months. Over to Amazon. Amazon is giving up on its Just Walk Out technology and removing it from Amazon Fresh stores. The company will replace the tech with smart cards that track spending in real time and still allow customers to skip a checkout line. So I guess they just walked out of the just walk out. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. And finally, speaking of Amazon, Jeff Bezos just joined the $200 billion club. The founder, who is worth $85 billion more than he was 1 year ago, is the only American with a net worth surpassing that milestone. So congrats to him. Okay, so our main story today is about a restaurant where robots get to cook your food. The place is called Cali Express by Flippy, and they offer a classic burger and fries combo, but the thing that's the opposite of classic in this place is the staff. So, Juliet, can you walk us through your experience at Cali Express by Flippy?
Yeah, so this is a fun one. So Cali Express by Flippy, it's a restaurant. It's a fully functioning restaurant, but it's kind of a test kitchen for these robots. So Cali Group is involved. They have a bunch of restaurants. And then Miso Robotics is, I think, the real name you want to pay attention to here, because they're a robotics company that makes robots for use in commercial kitchens. They have a robot called Chippy that kind of fries and seasons tortilla chips in Chipotle. I've never seen one in a Chipotle. That's probably because I don't go there very often. But if you've seen a robot at Chipotle, it's from this company. So here's what it's like when you walk into Cali Express by Flippy. Almost everything is automated.
Okay.
So you're going to go up to a kiosk, and it's powered by software from this company called PopID. So basically, when you sign up, you're going to take a selfie and upload it. And then anywhere where PopID is installed, it's going to ideally recognize your face. So you can pay with your face. You can have order recommendations or like your favorite orders come up, age verification, rewards points, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Anywhere this technology is in place.
Okay.
So I walk in, I do all of that. And then at the kiosk, you order your food. This is a pretty simple restaurant. It only has a couple of things, which is burgers, cheeseburgers, fries, and then the drinks are like bottled sodas.
Okay.
Flippy is kind of like a fry cook. It's a big robotic arm, and it takes the fries and it puts them in the oil, and then it shakes the oil off, and then it puts them to the side. A human being is going to take those fries and salt them and serve them to you, but Flippy's going to be doing all the cooking.
I see.
Now, Flippy doesn't have to just make fries. It can make anything that is fried. We were talking chicken tenders, mozzarella sticks, onion rings, you name it. You can program the recipe in there, how long you need to cook it for, in what way do you need to shake this basket, whatever the recipe is. Flippy can do it, and it's pretty cool to watch. They've got another robot in there. It's not made by Miso. It's made by Cocina. This one grills your burgers. So it kind of just looks like this big gray mammoth box thing. But inside, it is grinding the beef and then grilling the patties. It can grill up to six patties at a time. And then the human employee is going to actually assemble that burger. So take the patty, put it on the bun, put your toppings on. You can get grilled onions or raw onions or no onions. They're going to look at that, see what your order is, put that together, and serve it to you. So there is a human being, But the cooking is done by these two robots.
Okay, so it seems the robots are enacting the general cooking, mm-hmm. and then the humans are kind of doing the details and the nuances of each order.
Right, so the automation is really in the ordering. You don't have to talk to anybody to order, and then the robots are doing the cooking. Mm-hmm. But there is a person there, and that person's going to say, hey, here's your order.
So there's no robot saying,
hello, sir, here is your burger.
Nothing like that?
No, there are some restaurants that do employ robot waiters that wheel your food over to you, but Cali Express does not have those. It's actually not a lot of seating in Cali Express. What there is a collection of robots. You can see a Chippy, you can see some prototypes there. There's a lot of explanation into how they make these robots. So it's kind of part test kitchen, part museum, really.
Ooh, okay. And you mentioned earlier that Flippy is an arm. Is Flippy just an arm? Is he not a fully formed robot, but just a disembodied arm?
Just a big arm.
Spectacular.
He kind of looks like those toy machines in department stores.
Oh, a claw machine?
Yeah, where the claw comes down and gets the toy for you or doesn't because it's actually very hard.
It never does for me.
It looks like that, but it makes fries.
But he makes the fries. Mm-hmm. When you mentioned robots, I was thinking that there would be fully formed people look-alike robots in the back, because I feel like that's what our brains are just conditioned to think when you think of yeah. robots. It's kind of refreshing that it's not that, and it's more like these disembodied parts, or like you mentioned with the casino robot, which is just kind of a big mm-hmm. vat of meat.
Yeah. When you look at how it's actually done, it's like these two pieces of metal that press down and cook the burger. Mm. I was looking at other famous robot bartenders and cooks across media. The one that I liked the most was Michael Sheen in the movie Passenger. He's like this little robot that like talks to you and, you know, asks you what's going on. He serves kind of a dual function because he makes a drink, but he also talks to you. We're not there yet. We can't have Michael Sheen robot style bartenders yet. But in terms of just it does this one thing, it kind of reminds me of that Rick and Morty episode where Rick has built a little machine that passes butter and it's like, what's my purpose? And then Rick's like, you pass the butter. yeah. It's kind of like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that very well. Mm. But this is interesting because this accumulation of things, because the robots not being humanoid and robots and people working together in that environment, I would think that the fear with everything these days, AI, robots, is that we are replaceable and that we will be replaced by these robots. Mm-hmm. But it seems that in this version, it's kind of a middle of the road where we have the robots, but they still need to be managed,
right,
operated, and also detailed mm-hmm. by human subjects.
Right. And I think that is the most interesting thing to me about this entire concept. Because I live right by Cali Express, by Flippy. I walk by this thing multiple times a week. And that's how I was aware that it was even opening. I would walk by and it would talk about being a robot restaurant. And I was like, I got to know more about this. So for weeks, I would walk by this thing. And a couple times I thought it was going to open and then it didn't, you know, permitting and troubleshooting or whatever. During this time, it did pop up on Yelp, but it wasn't open. But there were already a bunch of one-star reviews huh. from people who had never been there. And I was like, why do people hate this so much? And it was literally that. It was like, no, this is going to replace us. What about jobs? Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking over the course of these last couple of weeks about this concept. And I was thinking about how when I was a kid, all through high school and even into college, I would be threatened with the idea of flipping burgers. It was always like, if you don't get good grades, if you don't go to college, if you don't pay attention, you're going to be flipping burgers. It was like, that was the worst, most demeaning job I could possibly have. Do I think that's true? No, I think it's a perfectly acceptable job where you learn how to cook food and feed people. Mm-hmm. But it was like, this is a low wage job and you don't want it. So now we've got this robot that can come in and take those repetitive tasks. And it's also taking the tasks that are the most dangerous in a fast food restaurant sure. or any restaurant where you have a grill and vats of hot oil. Those are dangerous for human skin. In a way, they're not for robots. So you have these robots coming in and taking these jobs that are supposed to be the worst jobs. And now people are really mad about it, which is confusing to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems to be a pain point right now. Mm-hmm. However, maybe in 10 to 20 to 30 years, things will change and there will be more jobs out there that are more about, oh, how does somebody fix a robot?
Right.
Or how do you fix it so that its automation continues to work and profit the business? So we could see a major job shift from something like this, from being in the restaurant and cooking the food and mm-hmm. kind of putting yourself at risk in hot fry oil to now just being able to repair the robot that does these things.
Yeah.
There's a difference here. I mean, it's going to be some growing pains, mm-hmm. 100%, but I do kind of see the future netting out on this and it being codependent human robot.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential in this kind of automation, especially compared to, let's say, ChatGPT replacing writers and graphic designers and OpenAI's new video thing replacing filmmakers. Like, I don't think it's going to be positive to see AI replace creatives. I think creatives can definitely use AI as a tool. I think where we're going to see AI and robots really make a helpful impact is if they can automate these tasks, decrease the overhead that these restaurants are paying, and then increase job satisfaction and wages for workers. Will we do that? Is that what we're actually going to do? I don't know. I am not a large corporation thinking about appeasing my shareholders. But I could see kind of this almost Star Trek future where, you know, they have a replicator on the ship that makes them any food or any drink that they want. But there are still episodes where characters cook for pleasure and use it as a way to share with other people about their culture. There's still a bar with a human bartender that people go and talk to because she serves this purpose on the ship that's more than just you make drinks. It's like, yeah, but you also talk to me about my problems and you introduce me to people and you're right. Like, this, you serve this social function, and her job is considered just as important as anyone else's job on the ship. That is the utopia that I see working in tandem with robots. And of course, there's also subplots on every Star Trek about the robot that wants to be human. So you got that thing going on too.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it could be kind of fun and we could see a lot of benefits, but I also wonder if we're just going to turn into a dystopia where it's like replace everyone with robots and no one has a job and no one gets paid. Like, I don't know. But I think it's really interesting. And I think I'm very curious to see how robots, when they're more common, actually affect a business's bottom line and then what it does with that data.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And last thing I wanted to know, how was the food? Does Flippy make a good burger and fries? Was it all right?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want this to sound like diminishing, but I would say the food was like exceedingly average.
Okay.
And I mean that in just like, if you're going to go to lunch and you're going to get a burger and fries, you're going to get a burger and fries. That's like super hard to screw up. Sure. We all know what a burger and fries is for the most part. And it tasted exactly like you would expect. Like, I didn't bite into it and think like, oh my God, this is the best burger I've ever had. This robot really brings something to the table. And I also didn't bite into it and be like, you know what? This robot can't cook.
Right.
It was very much like, yep, this is a burger. These are fries. This is a Diet Coke in a bottle. This is exactly what I would expect on my lunch break. The price point was pretty comparable to the rest of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think a burger is like $11. This is Pasadena we're talking about. So it's not like it's the cheapest place to live in the United States. But I think that's also pretty on par with everyone else in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I do think if I were to recommend it to somebody, if they were like, where's the best lunch in Pasadena? I wouldn't be like, this is the best food. But I would be like, this is a cool novelty that you can enjoy and you're going to get a meal out of it.
Yeah. And it's almost scarier that it is so average, that it's not bad and not amazing, and that it could have been made by anyone, but it just happened to be made by a robot that day.
Yeah. It's like you get exactly what you expect, and there's robots. What a time to be alive.
All right, and that's going to do it for us today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning into the Hustle Daily Show. You can head to the link in the description of this podcast to vote for the Hustle newsletter in the Webby Awards. We are a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.